Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are this week Stephen Hayford with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Tom Shaheen with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Going to the bullpen this week. Both Michael and Jason are off, but that's fine. You guys know a lot about what's happening at the state capitals, but before we go there, Tom, I want to talk about the events unfolding in the nation's capital. The first impeachment hearings in 20 years. A lot of us were glued to the tube this week. I want to ask you, not to get too much into the weeds on this, but how worried are you that impeachment might be used as a political tool to get rid of presidents we don't like? I'm sure a lot of conservatives found a lot in Barack Obama they didn't like, but they didn't act to impeach the president. How concerned are you that this is becoming too much of a political tool?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think if Democrats are successful at all, and I don't mean successful in impeachment, but is successful in bringing down the president in the next election, it could be attributed to that, and then it might spur Republicans to do the same. And I think that would be bad for the process and bad for America. So my concern is that it's somewhat successful in the goals that they have.
Yeah.
And then we see it down the road being used by both sides. And we don't need that, especially with the amount of division we have at this point. We can't even get public policy enacted.
So much to be done in our nation. It's all stopped, Stephen. It's
right.
All ground to a halt. I mean, the way I see it is this. If you don't like the president, you're probably going to support impeachment. If you do, then you're not going to support. It's going nowhere in the Senate. They're not going to get the votes they need to convict. So my thoughts are that Schiff and Pelosi and the rest want the impeachment albatross hung around the neck of Trump going into 2020, so he looks like damaged goods. Am I wrong there?
No, I don't think so, Bob. And I think that may be their goal, but I'm not sure how effective it's going to be for them. There's a recent poll out. Politico has a story saying that 81% of respondents say that there's either a very small chance or no chance that they'll change their minds about the impeachment.
Yeah.
So that's not a big pool of voters for the impeachment hearings to move in one direction or another.
Right.
So it seems hard to think that there's going to be a big shift based on what's revealed in the hearings, although the Democrats may hope that they find a smoking gun that would move even people who think that they're unmovable.
Well, it's going to take up the rest of the year, take all the oxygen out of the room, and we'll see what happens and how it impacts 2020. That should be very interesting. So, hey, let's go back to Harrisburg and Utah. The fetal heartbeat bill that was introduced this fall, this would basically ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected. How much traction is that getting, Tom?
Well, the traction it's getting is what we had hoped for, which is educating the public. And even with a relatively hostile media, the way they're treating it, and editorial boards using all the Planned Parenthood type talking points on it, word is getting out there and people are starting to think about it, because what we found is polls actually show that most people, and this would include Pennsylvanians, think that most abortions take place at a very early stage, even before 8 weeks, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
A third of the abortions here take place between 9 weeks and 14 weeks, and so we're hopeful that this legislation will be debated on the House and Senate floor, even knowing that we have a Planned Parenthood-supported governor who's already vowing to veto any pro-life bill that's put on his desk.
Yeah. Historic criminal justice reforms take effect January 1st, Stephen. A lot of police officers that we've spoken to, and prosecutors as well, very concerned about the number of inmates that are being released and just what this will do to public safety. Do you share their concerns?
Well, Bob, there certainly are a lot of concerns being expressed about the new criminal justice reforms, which include speedy trial requirements, as well as provisions regarding bail, specifically abolishing bail for persons accused of nonviolent crimes and even persons accused for second-degree robbery and second-degree burglary, not the types of folks that I think most New Yorkers would really be comfortable letting out on the street after a day if they've been arrested for a crime like that. So there is a lot of concern being expressed across the political spectrum about the readiness of prosecutors and others in the criminal justice system, readiness of the courts to handle these very significant changes. We're hearing and seeing some frustration about the lack of preparation and concern about what's going to happen on January 1.
Yeah, and a lot of folks share that concern. A lot of victims' rights groups speaking out saying, hey, I know there's even been legislation saying maybe take a one-year pause on this and really reflect on what we're doing here. Tom, you mentioned the fetal heartbeat bill, which you're trying to pass through. Update us on any other legislative items that you're working on, bills that our audience would be interested in before the end of the term.
Sure. Well, staying with the pro-life focus, we expect there may be a vote soon in the Senate on a bill the House passed overwhelmingly earlier in the year, the Down Syndrome Protection Act. Mm. This is the second try to get that going and get that passed in the Senate. The House has been great. So folks need to contact their own state senator. But it's the Down Syndrome Protection Act, House Bill 321. We're also looking at some other legislation we're trying to hold at bay and prevent it from coming up for a vote because of the effects it may have, legislation that would affect counselors who want to offer therapy to folks who they have unwanted sexual attractions. That was mentioned in New York. Well, that's a proposal here in Pennsylvania we're trying to stop as well.
Yeah. And New York's finally, Stephen, New York's green light law, getting the green light, as it were. A federal judge, I believe, last week upheld the law. It was being challenged by Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns, who basically argued, you know, this puts me in conflict with federal immigration law. A lot of clerks are concerned about how they're going to enforce this law. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks as well concerned about fraud and abuse and those kinds of things. What's going to be the fallout from this, Stephen?
The fallout, I think, Bob, is going to be there's going to be a lot of confusion and probably a lot of upheaval beginning on December 14 when the green light law is scheduled to go into effect. This is a little bit of a similarity to what we just discussed about the criminal law, criminal procedure changes, and that there's complaints and concern from the county clerks that they're not getting adequate guidance from the state on how this is supposed to be implemented.
Just so our audience is familiar, this is the law that grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
That's correct. And thank you for clarifying. Back in August, County Clerks Association wrote to the commissioner of the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and it sent almost 50 questions and comments. How are we going to stop voter registration from happening unlawfully? How are we going to train our employees about foreign documents people might present, whether they're real or they're fake, financial resources, language resources? And as of earlier this week, they hadn't received a response. And this is supposed to go into effect in a month.
Yeah,
this is really a problem for those county clerks. And some, like Erie County Clerk Kearns, a Democrat from Erie County, and others have challenged this. Some have flat out said that they won't comply. Some are saying that they'll reluctantly comply, but that they need some tools to be able to implement this. And there seems to be a concern here that the state has put this policy into place without fully thinking through how it's going to play out on the ground. And so there are estimates, there's one estimate that there are 265,000 undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, that are expected to apply for driver's licenses in 3 years once the green light law goes into effect. If that number holds, the county clerks are going to have a very difficult situation when their people are responding to these requests in real life and in real time. We could see backlogs, and we could, of course, see situations where people get driver's licenses who might use those licenses improperly, who maybe it would be defrauding the DMV. It's hard to imagine that this is going to be a smooth process, and there could be safety concerns as a result.
Mm, and that will have to be the last word this week. So many issues. We thank you both for filling in. Stephen Hayford with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. What's your website, sir?
That's albanyupdate.com.
And in Pennsylvania, Tom Shaheen, where can folks check you out?
It's pafamily.org.